Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Now he sends one deep to left field, all the way back, Benintendi, and gone! What can he do? He's a one-man wrecking crew. The Astros lead this game 9-6.
It's a great line, a one-man wrecking crew he is, Yordan Alvarez, with that homer last night. Are you tired of the Astros winning? I don't
no.
think anybody in Houston is, but I think the national media is. We'll get to that throughout the show.
They stirred. They know it's happening again, Vanessa. They know they are coming back because they belong in the American League Championship Series. The first round of the playoffs in Houston begins that round. It does not begin any time before that.
It's the acceptance. I'm Vanessa Richardson. That's Paul Gallant. BMAC is in for Sean Mapes. We appreciate you hanging out with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Yeah, the Astros beat the Royals 9-7. It's their eighth straight win. They did it with 13 hits, two doubles, four homers. Usually the pitching is premier. Not Luis Garcia's best outing. He allowed 5 runs and 6-1, but he did get the win regardless.
It was a fun game, too. I mean, look, the Royals aren't very good, but I like seeing slugfests like this, and I really like seeing Yordan Alvarez continue to do what he has been doing. Per advanced statistics that I have no interest in learning about,
okay.
Yordan Alvarez, Vanessa, is the best hitter in all of baseball. And it wasn't just that home run that you heard from Yordan Alvarez as we came in. Yordan Alvarez, who we do not see in the field, a guy that I think we all were a little bit hesitant about the idea of him playing in the outfield, also absolutely gunned somebody down in this game as well at a very critical point.
Do we have sound? We do have sound.
My bad.
93.5 miles an hour in the air.
Woo.
Got it to Martin Maldonado, who tagged out Dozier.
Sends this one into left field. Yordan Alvarez will back up a step or two. Tagging at third base is Dozier. The throw by Alvarez is in time. He made an incredible throw.
MVP.
Yeah. I mean, MVP thrower, too.
He's very good in the defense considering the expectations that you have there. And look, I know that the way that this is going to work, Vanessa, when it comes to the MVP conversation in the American League, it's going to be about, first off, all of the people who love Mike Trout. Second, because the Yankees are having a really good season, because the Yankees have the best record in baseball, because they were off to a historic start, I also think that there is a possibility that there will be a lot of baseball writers who just want to give Aaron Judge the award. But I think Yordan Alvarez has a really strong case with the way that he has been hitting this season. And when he's been in the field, he's been pretty damn good too. So we need to do things that perhaps are questionable, Vanessa.
Yeah, you're going to come up with some campaign slogans.
Yes, if there's anything
campaign
that,
hateful ads.
I mean, do you not get a kick come election time out of the negative political ads?
I hated it when I worked in local news, but now, I mean, now that I'm out of it, it is entertaining.
Oh, I can imagine.
You have a lot of commercial things happening during the commercials. You hear a lot of them. It gets in the same ones over and over and over and over again.
They're so shameless. I mean, one, just, and I'm not thinking of a random one off the top of my head. This is just like the worst version of it. And there'll be a voice that opens up the commercial like, insert political candidate. Want you to believe that he's all about you. But did you know he's actually a terrorist? This was paid for by the other candidate.
Right.
It's great. So, I mean, how about we do that for Yordan Alvarez? And look, I don't want Yordan Alvarez getting his hands dirty. I don't want him getting his arm dirty or anything like that. I will do the negative political ads. I will take shots at Aaron Judge. I will take shots at Mike Trout. I will do what is necessary. I am doing my part.
I don't think any shots need to be taken at Mike Trout because he just hasn't been. I mean, he was awful against the Astros. Dreadful when they were in town, when the Angels were in town.
People want you to believe that Mike Trout's the best player in baseball, but he doesn't care about winning. If you don't care about winning, can you be MVP?
This has been paid for by Yordan Alvarez for MVP.
And just put like all of the swings and misses against the Astros this weekend.
Absolutely.
Yordan has said he's not sure whether or not he'll do the home run derby. Damn, I really want him to do the home run derby.
I do too. It does potentially mess your swing up, is what I've heard, and you don't want that happening. But if I want to see anything happen during All-Star Weekend, which, again, I would like no Astros to show up. But say they do decide to show up. I want them to boycott it just because it would be funny.
But they boycotted it last year.
Do it again, though, for good measure, you know?
I thought last year made a statement.
How about you make another statement? Because this time, like last year, everyone expected it. This year, would anyone expect it? Do you think that anyone's thinking to themselves that they'll do it a second straight year?
No, but I think that the Astros organization as a whole probably wants to move on, don't you think?
Yeah, they definitely do. But I don't know. I kind of like
you're on saying, Team Petty. I get it.
Yeah, I'm Team Bleep the rest of the baseball. You guys all are terrible. The Astros are clearly a very good team. Cheating or no cheating, I mean, the results speak for themselves. And I like the idea of being the bad boys. I like putting on the black hat. I like being the villains of baseball. And that is a move that a heel would do. They would just not show up. Or they show up like midway through the game and just walk onto the field and just say, hey, no, we're the ones playing here.
Yeah, Todd,
we're the real All-Stars.
Todd, the show brings up a good point. They aren't going to boycott it with Dusty as the manager. That's true.
If Dusty was a real one, he would boycott
Dusty
at the last second.
Dusty is from California and played in L.A., and he is royalty there. So something tells me he is going to have a very fun weekend for All-Star.
It's a back-and-forth thing because, Vanessa, if it is in Los Angeles, then you do kind of have to show up, right?
Rub it in. Yeah, if you're Dusty Baker in L.A., absolutely.
But not just that. Like, the Astros have to show up, too, right? I guess. I mean, you could not show up. It would be like the United States and the Soviets
for
in the 80s.
For Jordan to hit a bunch of dingers at Dodger Stadium?
I mean, incredible. That would be sick. It's to rub it in their face. Like, hey, remember when you had this guy? Haha, you don't now. Whoops.
The Astros on a roll, winning the last eight. Alex Bregman finally starting to kind of look like himself over the last couple of weeks. He did have a home run last night. A homer and two RBI.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To me, some of the Astros' success, not all of it, they managed to win games without Alex Bregman. I'm not saying he's the most important player on the team, but I don't think it's a coincidence that they're more solid when he's there.
Oh, no doubt. I mean,
he's in that three hole, and Dusty, to Dusty's credit, never took him out.
And it's the Royals, so you got to take the results of last night with a grain of salt. But I mean, he started off the game 3-for-3, and he has a double. He has a clutch home run that gives the Astros a lead after Jeremy Peña went yard. He, having nights like that, that's what you expect. I remember Alex Bregman as a guy who, despite his stature, somewhat like Altuve, has incredible power to pull the ball to left field and get doubles, to hit home runs into the Crawford boxes. So I would like to see this continue. I think we all would, obviously. I think it's a very good sign for him that it's happening now because you have plenty of time to ramp up, especially for it to happen right before the All-Star break. I guess from a timing perspective, maybe you want it to happen after, but it's good to see that he's having big games because he's been playing good of late. You want to see him play great. The first couple of weeks of the season, he was playing outstanding. And it looked like, oh, wow, this is the Alex Bregman of old. This is the Alex Bregman before he got injured last year. I'm hoping that this is a sign of more things to come.
Prior to that stretch with the New York teams where they played the Mets and the Yankees and the Mets, I think we had some questions. Luckily, I think a lot of them have been answered. I do think Bregman's coming back. Obviously, Jake Myers has come back. But one of the questions we still have is with Lance McCullers Jr. We did get good news that he's been pitching more and that he feels strong.
Is any of it good news, though? It's so like.
But the Astros are always very, that's the perfect word for it with injuries, is they're always super, super vague.
I think Dusty Baker was essentially saying yesterday, hey, I mean, so he's throwing on the mound again. And soon he'll be able to throw simulations. And I'm just wondering, okay, well, how many simulations? How many more times does he need to be on the mound before we get to simulations?
They were weird with Jake Odorizzi's injury, too. I mean, he goes off the stretcher. And they're never very open about it. Well, but with Lance McCullers Jr., you're talking about somebody that come October could make a huge difference.
They want you to know. That Jake Odorizzi's leg fell off and they were able to reattach it. Now it is bionic. So it's kind of disappointing that that was his first performance back.
In his defense, I think he
injury.
Thought that the stretcher was a little much, too.
He did feel that way? Okay, that's good.
My understanding, I don't remember who told me that, but Stretcher wasn't that much.
Okay, good. Because I feel like that you have to, at the very least, think that, like, oh, God, I looked like Paul Pierce getting wheelchaired off the court after pooping my pants.
Yeah, never forget the poop game. That's right.
He even admitted to that after the fact.
At least he admitted it. Lamar Jackson still won't admit that he had to poop when he ran. Do you remember when he ran into the tunnel and was hobbling? And listen, we've all done the hobble. I have IBS. I've hobbled a lot. But he would not admit that he was hobbling because he had to do that.
Quarterbacks don't poop.
Yeah.
It's just like girls. So, yeah, I mean, that's why it's surprising.
Boy, do I have some news for you. happy for the Astros. Happy that they're on a roll. Of course, their homestand continues, and hopefully they'll have a good road trip out west after this. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, the latest in the Deshaun Watson case, plus what is a loose partnership? No, I'm not talking about Paul's dating life.
Oh, wow.
You'll hear what it is. That's next.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Paul's got a headphone situation going on.
Yeah, there's only one earpiece for the headphones.
And I just now noticed it.
If I'm not mistaken, these are the headphones that Lance uses on the bench with John and Lance.
He only uses one headphone?
Right, I think so. I think he basically picks it up. It's like it's one of those old school telephones from the 1910s. Oh, see? Oh, we're talking about the sports today, see? Yeah, I forgot my headphones in my car. So I have earbuds now because the headphones that are like this, they break very easily.
Yeah, they do.
And your boy's too cheap to buy new ones.
It looks like a Bluetooth situation.
I wish.
You know the dads?
Oh, those
old
school Bluetooth.
How they would do the old school one in one ear.
The one piece,
B-Mac, you remember what I'm... Did you have one, B-Mac?
No, I just became a dad within the last year, so I was out of that phase. But okay. I hate walking by that guy at the grocery store that's having the full conversation, just oblivious to the world around him.
It's confusing.
It's the worst.
It still is confusing, and I have this happen still where I have these headphones that I put in, and they're Bluetooth headphones. But, you know, you should be able to tell that they're those, like, workout headphones. They're green, so you can see them.
Oh, wait, so you don't have AirPods?
No. I'm not paying for AirPods. You kidding me?
Okay.
No. They're ridiculously overpriced. You can get a nice pair of Bluetooth headphones on Amazon for like $19.99 and whatever. And,
gotcha.
And you get a couple year warranty with it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They're totally fine. The AirPods.
Look at me and
total scam.
In consumerism.
Well, it's Apple. It's Big Apple, big corporation. It's trying to mislead you. Anyway.
Funny how frugal Paul is today.
He is frugal.
No, I'm. Listen. Okay. So I know that there are stereotypes for certain groups of people about being cheap. I happen to be part Irish, part Scottish. I was told by one of my grandparents when I was a wee lad, and I don't know if this is culturally insensitive, but guess what? I'm Scottish. I can say it, that Scottish people are so cheap that they would squeeze the nickels that used to have buffalo on them until the buffalo pooped. So that was how penny pinching we were. So, yeah. I
get it.
I'm a little economical.
Midwest the same way.
If you will.
Don't Irish and Scottish people hate each other?
I don't know. I think my sister's
like into the history.
I think they both hate the English enough to be like, all right, we're cool with each other.
Yeah, it's a common enemy.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
As a fellow Scot, I would agree with that. Yeah.
Oh, we got two Scots up in here. Welcome to the show.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Deshaun Watson, he is in some Buffalo doo-doo himself. Transition. Thank you.
Nice.
According to national reports, I've said this. I naively thought that hearing would last like 2 days and then we would know because we've been given so much information. But according to multiple national reports, former U.S. District Judge Sue L. Robinson, who of course is the neutral arbitrator in this entire situation, has asked both sides to file legal briefs by the week of July 11th, which would be next week. The briefs will serve as final arguments for both Watson's side and the NFL, which has reportedly recommended that the three-time Pro Bowl quarterback serve an indefinite suspension lasting no less than one full season. The NFLPA, of course, as we've heard ad nauseum, wants Deshaun to get a big old fat zero games and definitely not a full season.
The league keeps on going, psst, one full year. Yes, it's independent, but one full year, Sue. You don't want to wake up in your bed with a horse head there. 1 year. But she's independent. This is supposed to negate the power of Roger Goodell to suspend somebody. Which is funny because this is the one time where I think everyone's in agreement that it should be a very lengthy suspension for Deshaun Watson just based off of everything there. Of course, you have some holdouts, but this is going to be interesting because if Sue Robinson does decide to give him like 6 or 8 games, the NFL has the power to appeal it. And when the NFL appeals it, guess who hears the appeal? It's Roger Goodell.
Right.
So it's really funny that the NFL was talking about how they're going to take some of Goodell's power away, but Goodell actually has final say over this. But I'm curious to see how this does play out because if Goodell decides to appeal it and give him the 1 year suspension, the Players Association is going to throw a hissy fit.
Well, Pat McAfee and AJ Hawk, who of course both played in the NFL, were talking about on the Pat McAfee show how back when you were in the NFL, it's like, do you appeal any suspension? Because the person that gave you the suspension was the same person that would read the appeal, which was Roger Goodell. So it's good that there's a neutral arbitrator, but if Roger Goodell is the one that makes the ultimate decision, does it even matter?
Could be fun just to get in there and, you know, annoy him, but I'm sure that he gets a great kick out of having all of this weird power despite having zero background in law.
Zero background in law, and despite being somebody that I think a lot of the owners probably want out. Look, I don't know what's going to happen. I just want it to happen, honestly. What'd you say?
I just want it to happen.
Yeah,
I thought it would happen over the 4th of July weekend, to be perfectly honest.
I thought they would do the news dump.
Right.
I thought it was going to be the weekend. Friday, 7 p.m. news dump. Yeah. Everybody's off for the weekend, but they didn't. So the fact that it's taking a while indicates, I think, that Judge the Honorable Sue L. Robinson could be taking her time. Maybe she knows that she needs to, quote unquote, hear both sides for them to be happy. But I've said from the beginning, regardless of where you stand, Deshaun Watson and David Mulugeta and his crew should have no say in this. I don't want to hear anything about negotiations, about, well, here's a suspension that works for both of us. Screw what works for both of you. Give him the suspension based on what you've given. You need to look at what you gave Ray Rice versus Ben Roethlisberger versus Calvin Ridley, who, and I understand that was a cut and dry thing for gambling. Mm-hmm. It's in the rules. I get that. But you need to look at all of that and then come up with something that makes a statement.
I don't think Mulugeta is going to have a problem, though, because of the way that they structure the contract, where it's just the 1 year salary for this coming season. I feel like they'll, you know, say, oh, well, don't suspend us. But, you know, ultimately, I think David Mulugeta is like, oh, I'm still getting a lot of the money for my commission for this big deal that I signed with Watson.
Yeah, big deals. Big deals happening all over the league. We'll talk about Terry McLaurin, who actually got a lot of money and had a great press conference. Let's talk about loose partnerships. No, I'm not talking about Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith. I'm talking about the Big 12.
Loose.
And the ACC. Now, this is per PFF College. The Pac-12 and ACC have discussed a loose partnership
that could include
a championship game in Las Vegas per CBS. The ACC reportedly proposed the move in an effort to boost the conference's media rights value to ESPN.
Oh.
We all know that all comes down to money. Okay, that's shocker, right? So these conferences are going to have to get really creative. Now, keep in mind, we had also heard that the Big 12 could be discussing merging with people. We had also heard that there could be 2 super conferences. So this is the latest in many, many rumors. But the fact that it's coming from CBS, CBS has some legit college insiders. So this could be interesting.
Interesting that they would pick the ACC as the common partner, but those are the 2 conferences that are being left out. And now that the Pac-12 is, I think, dead with the way that things are going, it's interesting to see that on the other side of things, too, that the Big 12 is in deep discussions to add Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, Oregon, Utah, and Washington, per reports. It's going to turn, essentially, the Big 12 into even more of a wacky... remember Conference USA back in the day, now the American Athletic Conference? This is just going to be the wackiest, all right, well, crap, we got left out in the cold, let's just all huddle together and in this bunker and try to avoid the apocalypse that the SEC and the Big Ten are going to rain upon us with all the money that they're going to make.
A lot of the college deals, television deals, are up in 2023 and 2024. So I don't think we're that far away from having those super conferences if they are going to come at all.
No, it's right around the corner. I've heard a bunch of different arguments about this over the last couple of days where some people are very traditionalist when it comes to college football, and they're like, really? We're going to watch USC versus Purdue? Oh, great. But I don't know. I guess I have just kind of accepted it. Maybe if I went to an actual football college, because Syracuse football sucks. If I had gone to a program, say, you know, I
went to high school in Florida, say I'd gone to Florida and I am a Gator alum or something like that, maybe I'd feel a little bit differently about this, but I don't know. It's really hard to look at tradition being disrupted when, like, right in our own backyard, Texas and Texas A&M haven't played each other in a decade. You know, I mean, this is just more of the things that we have already been dealing with. I guess I don't have the energy to get mad about something that's just been happening for so long. I'm accustomed to it. These programs are all chasing money, and traditional rivalries are not a priority to them anymore, even though for, I think, a lot of fans, you know, there's nothing more important than the game that your school plays against its arch rival. Because most teams are not going to make it anywhere close to a national title over the course of a season. We've seen the college football playoff.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's very predictable.
Yeah, it's been like the same six teams for like the entire last, for its entirety, it feels like. I mean, all right, Clemson, Ohio State, woohoo, Oklahoma, Alabama, probably Georgia. You know, it's just the same thing over and over and over again. And they're prioritizing the big bucks from that as opposed to the, I think, just as important for some schools, games that take place the weekend of Thanksgiving, the arch rivalry game. So I want to be more mad about this than I am. I just don't have the energy for it.
Unnecessary Roughness had a tweet that you brought up. The Big 12 is in, quote, deep discussions. Again, we talk about all the rumors. To add six teams into mm-hmm. their conference, those six teams are Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, Oregon, Utah, Washington. Would that make a difference?
If you can get Oregon in, yes. Because Oregon's got money. And
I got that Phil Nike.
Yeah, that elevates your profile a little bit, but it elevates it in the same way where, okay, the ACC is good because Clemson's in it. You know, it's like, all right, you have a superpower that's the top of the conference. The ACC used to be good because Florida State was in it. You know, like that Florida State would always rep when they played teams from other conferences, but the rest of the conference, football-wise, was like, okay, you got a couple like 8-win teams, 9-win teams and stuff like that over the course of history. I think if they can add Oregon, great. But I have a hard time buying into the idea of Oregon choosing this weird smorgasbord conference over the Big Ten. And I think the Big Ten would be crazy to pass up on Oregon. I mean, if the Big Ten can bring in all of the major players from the Pac-12 from the past 20 years, which would be USC, UCLA because of basketball, and Oregon, I mean, my God, like, it's fantastic, because then in some weird way, they do get to keep the idea of the Rose Bowl intact, which, you know, generally has always been like either USC, Oregon, or UW playing against some team from the Big Ten.
When the Big Ten decided to welcome UCLA and USC in, all geographic thoughts, rivalries, all of that went out the window. Honestly, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they welcome more teams from the East Coast at some point or from down south. I mean, when we talk about the potential, when you have teams, I mean, this was always a Midwest conference. Then they had Rutgers, and then they had Maryland, and then it gets a little bit, you know, dicey as far as geography goes. When they added USC and UCLA, I think nothing's off the table in college football. And, of course, we'll continue to hear these rumors, I'm sure, as college football season gets closer. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we got some NFL countdown action. But first, Paul's going to tell you about PIN.
Yes, the Passive Investor Network, baby. Okay, guys. Look, we're trying to make money. Things are a little tight these days. Well, one way that maybe down the road you could find yourself with a lot of money in your pocket is by working with the Passive Investor Network. They are a real estate investor company, and they look around the city of Houston for places that they feel like are going to turn around. And they help turn them around. They help fix them up. They buy properties, and you get to actually see the before and after when you take a bus tour with the Passive Investor Network. You want to go to passiveinvestor.net and enter promo code ESPN to go on one of their bus tours. And on these bus tours, you will see them take you into these parts of town that they think are on the rise. And then afterwards, they will sit down with you and personalize a 5-year plan just for you. And maybe you're thinking to yourself, I don't know if I got the scratch to put the money down. That's why you want to talk with them. They will figure out a plan for you that will work for you. It's passiveinvestor.net, the Passive Investor Network, promo code ESPN to go on one of those bus tours. PassiveInvestor.net. It's the Passive Investor Network.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting InnovationMap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Vanessa and Gallant.
64 days until the regular season kicks off for the NFL. Of course, we have a lot to talk about until then. We have rookies, we have training camp, we have some preseason games. But the regular season, 64 games. I think it's 9 Sundays, if my math is correct. 9 Sundays sounds a lot better than 64 days. Okay. I can take 9 Sundays.
Who can forget 6th round pick Casey Studdard?
Houston, is that your Texan. Number 64 jersey?
2007 NFL draft, baby. Yeah. We're just going with all Texans. Look, the numbers in the 60s suck. I feel bad for all the guys who get stuck with them.
Yeah, we have 4 more days of it.
Yeah.
It's a
curse.
But 64 days, I'm cool with it.
It's still too far away.
It's still too far away. You know what? But we're lucky in Houston, at least because we have the Astros, and the Astros are
thank
good.
Thank God.
Imagine being in an NFL city.
With a bad baseball team?
With a bad baseball team or no baseball team. Green Bay. What are they? And I love Indy. What are they doing in Indy right now?
Yeah, that's true. How many IndyCar events are there during the summer?
Events, races there.
I mean, after the Indy 500 is done, I know nothing about it.
There actually are IndyCar races, and there was some drama with the Andretti teams this weekend. Oh. So I guess that's what the local folk are talking about.
Oh,
but,
wow. What a surprise. Italians in a mess. Jeez.
But we are lucky to have the Astros here in Houston. 64 days. All right. A lot of wide receiver movement this year and this offseason. Some trades, some free agent pickups, some predictable, some unpredictable. I don't think people thought Devontae Adams would leave Aaron Rodgers, but there he is. We have Tyreek, who says that Tua is basically Hall of Famer. So which star wide receiver on a new team? And, of course, we want y'all's opinion on this, too. Tyreek, Devontae, Amari Cooper, A.J. Brown, Hollywood Brown, Allen Robinson, etc. Who makes the biggest impact, and which one is in for a down season with their new quarterback? Let us know what you think. 713-780-ESPN. Who's going to make the biggest impact, and who do you think is going to have a down year?
So it should be Tyreek, but Tyreek is playing with Tua, and Tua is not very good based off of what we have seen to this point. Maybe that changes. I doubt that is going to change. So then afterwards, okay, who's Amari Cooper? Who's throwing to him? A.J. Brown, is A.J. Brown going to be getting the best version of Jalen Hurts, who's not the best quarterback? This is a great question because I think, for the most part, either you have a situation where the guy is joining a quarterback who is not very good, or you just have questions about him. Hollywood Brown, drop machine. Okay, is it going to work out with Kyler Murray? Allen Robinson hasn't been good the last couple of years. I feel like Allen Robinson is the one who's in the best situation. But all of that to say, got to be Devontae Adams. He and Derek Carr are besties. The Raiders had Darren Waller, but now with obviously what took place last year, where Henry Ruggs gets in the DUI manslaughter, and he's done essentially for you. You needed to have somebody else who can be a really top of the line wide receiver. So I think it's Adams with the Raiders, and I think the Raiders are really the most interesting team in the AFC this year because they're not a certainty they go far with Derek Carr as their quarterback, but they certainly did very cool things this offseason getting Adams and Chandler Jones. But
they're my dark horse. They're my dark horse. But when you look at the AFC, the freaking division
the
they're
West,
in,
yeah.
I mean, that's tough.
West Side.
My down wide receiver QB combo is going to be Kyler and Hollywood. I don't believe in Kyler. Now, I know DeAndre Hopkins is going to be out, and I think that could give him maybe a couple of games. I do think he'll shine in a few games. But what always happens with the Cardinals? Halfway through, I mean, they were like 7 or 8-0 last year, and then all of a sudden it was a decline. And that was with DeAndre Hopkins. Now, eventually he got injured, but he's out for the roids, it's improper nutrition or something like that, something, a banned substance that he had in one of his
protein
shakes. I think that Kyler Murray and Hollywood Brown may have a few games where they're hot together, but I think that they're going to have a down year. I don't believe in Kyler Murray and as a quarterback, as a leader, as anything, and I don't think the Cardinals are going to be what they were last year. And the second half of the season, it seems like they always go cold.
I would feel differently if Hopkins wasn't suspended, but all those things that you laid out, 100% right. I guess for me, the guy who's going to be in for a down year of all these wide receivers, I think it'll be A.J. Brown compared to expectations for him. I like Jalen Hurts, the football player, the leader, a lot. I think guys clearly like him. I think that he handled his situation at Alabama with unbelievable grace. He did a damn good job at Oklahoma when he transferred there, too. But this is a guy who takes a really long time to get the ball out of his hands. And the thing with A.J. Brown can beat you deep, but Brown is one of those guys who is fantastic when you throw the ball to him, like, in traffic. He's just such a big-bodied guy. And what he can do after the catch, too, it's pretty good. I'm curious as to how Jalen Hurts works with somebody who's not necessarily going to be 3 to 4 yards open. You know, Hurts and someone like Tyreek Hill makes sense to me because Hill is just always open. And Hurts can extend plays. And, I mean, imagine what happens with those two paired together. But I don't think A.J. Brown's going to statistically have the season that we've seen him have in the past. That is not a reflection on A.J. Brown. I think it's a reflection on Jalen Hurts as a quarterback.
6133 agrees. A.J. Brown will have a down year unless he can break 5 yard passes every catch because we're still not sure if Jalen Hurts can throw downfield.
Yeah, it's a shame. I think Hurts is one of the better running quarterbacks in the NFL. Like, no one.
I want to see him explode. I really do.
I do too. I'm rooting for him. I mean, even though he plays for the Philadelphia Eagles and the Eagles fans are terrible, I would love to see him play well this year.
BMAC, what say you?
Yeah, I'm on the side of A.J. Brown having a down year as well because, like Paul mentioned, A.J. is kind of a 50-50 ball guy. He's not someone that separates. Really, I think Devonta Smith could have the bigger year there in Philadelphia because, you know, whatever you think of his talent, he does get separation. He does get open. And we saw the Eagles go to kind of a more of a run-first offense last year anyway. So I think that probably trends that way. I might be out on the island, but I'm actually buying Kyler Murray in Hollywood Brown. Some of the, call me a nerd, but some of the advanced stats really show how well Kyler throws the deep ball. And if there's one thing Hollywood can do, I know he's had some drop problems, is he gets open deep where Lamar really didn't take advantage of it. I think Kyler, with his better deep throwing skills, could, at least while Hopkins is out, could have a big season.
They're going to have a couple of really hot games together. I just don't believe in them as a team.
Yeah, I don't
believe
they're going to make a
Kingsbury
run.
I think it's a cheesy franchise. Love J.J. Watt. I think that he's way past his prime.
I don't know. So, that photo the other day said otherwise.
Yeah, he and his wife on social media. Whoa. Looks like they're in Hawaii or something.
Something, yeah.
Baby daddy with the
shirtless picture on the beach.
Both of them, but she looks good, even pregnant. In other NFL news, we go to Paul's former team that he covered, the Seattle Seahawks.
Uh-oh.
Jody Allen, the de facto owner of the Seahawks and Trailblazers, said in a statement that the teams are not currently for sale, but eventually will be. Her statement, of course, comes on the heels of the report from Adrian Wojnarowski that Nike founder Phil Knight and L.A. Dodgers part owner Alan Smolinski made an unsolicited offer of more than $2 billion to buy the Blazers. So the Blazers and the Seahawks not up for sale, but eventually will be. Who do you want to buy the Seahawks as somebody that covered that team?
Born in 1964, Jeffrey Bezos. Jeffrey Bezos. Come on, Jeffrey, you can do it. Come on, Jeffrey, put your back into it. It would be pretty funny to see Jeffrey Bezos in the NFL.
Isn't he having a problem getting his yacht out of some sort of dock right now?
Probably in like Denmark, but it doesn't matter. He can just blow it up, get one of his drones to come in there and just drop a payload. Yeah. there's an interesting story with Jody Allen that you can do your own research on.
What?
But there's some interesting allegations. It's funny. All these NFL owners, they have some dirt. They really do have some dirt on them.
I'm a believer that most billionaires are weird. Like, I think having that much money by default means you're into some weird crap.
Okay. Well,
most likely.
Listen, I think for some people, you know, you'd maybe look at the story and think to yourself, okay, like this isn't the worst thing in the world, but apparently, there's a 2015 article detailing how Jody Allen allegedly sexually harassed her personal security guards and also smuggled animal bones, including ivory, through U.S. Customs. So it's an article from 2015.
Hell yeah.
So she
likes to party.
clearly does like to party.
Speaking of the Seahawks, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, apparently there's somebody that they're not interested in. It's not a security guard, it's a quarterback. Plus, do you expect Zion to live up to his max contract potential? That's next.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, I love media wars. I love when reporters and media members have conflicting information, conflicting agendas, different info coming from different sources, etc. Yesterday on the Pat McAfee Show, Ian Rappaport of NFL Media said that the Seahawks have never been that interested in Baker Mayfield. This goes against a lot of what we heard, that it was the Seahawks and possibly the Panthers. If you remember, Baker had been interested in the Colts. The Colts never bit on that. So it was the Seahawks and Panthers, allegedly. But Ian Rappaport, who is pretty plugged in, said that the Seahawks were never that interested in him.
I think that they are just trying their hardest to make it so that Cleveland feels the need to do what the Texans did with the Browns a couple of years ago when they traded a second-round pick to dump Brock Osweiler and his carcass on Cleveland. And, of course, I don't know that there's really ever been that big of a market for Baker Mayfield, which is somewhat surprising because I think the idea that you could get Baker Mayfield, something out of Baker Mayfield, is a lot more believable than the idea that you could get something out of Sam Darnold. I guess that the Carolina is the team that has been most interested in them, but it's been funny seeing all the rumors of interest. We have seen so many conflicting back and forths about who actually is interested in Mayfield to the point where I guess I'm going to tend to believe that there really isn't that hot of a market for him. I think people are in a holding pattern waiting to see if Cleveland's just going to say, all right, fine, we will trade picks to get rid of him. But, you know, with all those picks that they just traded to get Deshaun Watson, that's not the best idea in the world. So they might just stick with him. But it's funny because they will definitely be paying him to not play. He will, I will believe, 100% pull a Deshaun Watson. Like, he will do what Watson did with the Texans before all the sexual misconduct allegations came out.
The media wars continue with Josina Anderson quote tweeting Pro Football Talk's article on this by saying, "This is inaccurate, though I can see why it may be necessary to float this now. Number one, in case the Seahawks don't get Baker. Number two, because if number one happens, it helps manage the path ahead with their current situation. Number three, they still trying to figure out how I know and how I heard about it." Love me some spicy Josina Anderson, who said, regardless if he goes to the Seahawks or not, it's still true. Meanwhile, stay tuned to the timeline tomorrow. We'll see.
Good for her not saying, I'm told, someone told me.
I'm told, someone told me.
She loves to flex that someone told her something.
Where is a viable option for Baker Mayfield if the Seahawks don't want him? I mean, does he have to accept that it's backup season for him?
Probably. Is he going to be willing to? I don't know. I think he's getting a lot of crap undue for last year. He was injured from week 2 on, and the Browns had Case Keenum on the roster. They could have benched Baker Mayfield and probably gotten a better result last year had they benched Baker Mayfield for a long period of time and let him heal. They didn't. But at the same time, there probably is a degree of humble pie that Baker needs to eat. He needs to prove that he can still be a part of a team. And, I mean, right now, the narrative surrounding him, whether true or untrue, is that he's not a good teammate. So when that's the case, you kind of have to just shut up and be humble if you want to find yourself playing in the league somewhere else. And, you know, a lot of quarterbacks, they've had a difficult time accepting that. It always seemed like Tim Tebow had a difficult time accepting the fact that he was going to be used in a non-quarterback role until finally he did try out at tight end.
With the Jags, right?
Right, yeah.
With Urban Meyer? God, that gets lost in the myriad of insane things Urban Meyer did.
Colin Kaepernick's refused to play in the Canadian Football League or any other place to show that he still has what it takes. It's been years and years. You know, you hear his name mentioned every now and then. I'm sure that he's an athletic freak compared to a lot of people, and I'm sure that it's not too far-fetched that he could be one of the top 100 quarterbacks that are in the United States of America.
Joel Blank says Carolina. Somebody on the Twitch line said Roughnecks. That's where Baker goes.
You know what? I mean, drill, baby, drill.
They were undefeated. Shout out to H-Town's only undefeated team, Roughnecks. That was fun.
If they had Baker Mayfield, they would definitely continue to be undefeated. And I'm not saying he needs to go to another league. I'm just saying he needs to go somewhere where he's the backup. And I mean, Carolina just doesn't, I think, want to trade. They are at this point right now where I don't think that they want to give up anything for Baker Mayfield. And I really think Cleveland is the one that needs to probably be the most realistic here. It seems like they still believe that they can get something for him. No, you have to dump him, and you have to incentivize the dumping of his contract.
8489 on the text line says, does Baker refuse to play if Watson is suspended all season? I think he refuses to play.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's Jacoby Brissett time if Watson is suspended, which we assume he's going to serve some sort of suspension, and Baker Mayfield says that he doesn't want to play. It's pride, and look, I mean, I'm not going to get into the politics of the Kaepernick situation, but to your point, Colin Kaepernick, Tim Tebow, all these guys that refuse to be backup quarterbacks. You saw Andy Dalton teeter with that for a while before finally being like, all right, it's backup time. I actually respect the guys like, we'll use a Texans example, Jeff Driscoll, are guys that just get their money being backups. They step up if they need to step up. Now, Baker Mayfield is not Jeff Driscoll. Baker Mayfield has some dog in him, as we say on the show. But he needs to accept the fact that Cleveland is actually the best place for him. It has the best roster. It's a city that, yeah, they may be tired of his antics, but he won a playoff game for them. So they, I think, will embrace him if he has to start again. I understand why he's salty. He played injured.
They said he's not an adult.
Right. They said he's not an adult. They
anonymously,
that to
too.
Chris Mortensen.
Which was I think that was crappy. That was a chicken move. I mean, if you're gonna say the guy's not a man, essentially, then put your name on it. Because I think that kind of anonymous stuff getting out the way that it did, like, why would you ever want to play for them again? So they did screw up on that part.
But
I'm
from
with
a
you,
business perspective, Cleveland, strictly business. If Baker can take his emotion out of it, I'm not saying it's an easy thing for him. He's known to have a hot head. He's known to be emotional. But if you can take emotion out of it, Cleveland is the best roster for him to succeed.
Should you take emotion out of it? Real talk. I mean,
oh, no. I don't think you should. But in business, you do have to remove emotion.
Sometimes you do. But here's the difference. Because I know that in the past, there have been times where I have wanted to take a moral stand.
Really?
With
not
certain
you.
Situations that I was in. No, I'm kidding. But the problem is, hey, you don't make money. So, I mean, do you want to, I don't know, like, take on a bunch of part-time jobs to try to make up for the lost compensation? Or do you just shut up and leave and don't say anything again and get a little bit extra something on the way out? It's I think easier said than done. In this situation, if you're Baker Mayfield, though, I mean, you have money. You can take this moral stand and honestly bleep Cleveland. Like, why? You played injured for them last year, and they're saying you're not a man? Like, I mean, come on.
And you won a playoff game for the first one in three decades.
Yes, I mean,
I understand why Baker is salty. I just think if you're looking at it from a financial, business, what's the best roster, all of that, it makes sense for him to ride it out in Cleveland, but I don't think that's going to happen.
He will get another job if he plays in Cleveland. If he plays next season and he plays well, someone will trade for him. And Cleveland will probably get actually a pretty good bit of compensation for him. But it all has to do with what's going on with the Watson suspension, which may be also a factor in why this has been taking so long. Because if the Browns are without Watson for a full season, the odds of them wanting to tank or something like that are, I would say, low. But if you have Jacoby Brissett as your quarterback, which is the backup currently listed for the Cleveland Browns, you're not going to win many games.
No.
With Mayfield, at the very least, okay, the first-round draft picks you traded away shouldn't be the first overall pick next season.
It's good for Texans fans if the Browns lose.
Yes.
Because then the draft picks are higher. All right, it is Zion Williamson's 22nd birthday, and he is officially eligible to sign his five-year contract, which, of course, is valued at $231 million. He was able to get that max. Do we think that Zion Williamson is capable of reaching the potential that comes with a max contract?
No.
This is somebody that has been out of shape, that has had what seems like possibly some mental things to overcome. He kind of was off the grid for a while. What do you think happens with Zion Williamson on the Pelicans this year?
When he's healthy, he is awesome to watch. He is just a completely unique body playing in this league. But that body does not seem like it is going to hold up. And okay, maybe things get better in the future. He's 22, as you just said. He just turned 22, and he has played of a possible 236 games over the first 3 years of his career, 85 of them. And look, we saw last year at the end of the season, it was weird because he was doing like these videos that he was posting where he was doing dunks leading up to games. Meanwhile, the Pelicans are in the midst of a playoff chase, make it into the playoffs. It was weird, and maybe that was the Pelicans babying him, but maybe that was also the Pelicans trying to get him back out there and him not really wanting to. Okay, maybe there's a commitment going forward, but I don't know why Zion Williamson on a team where the other best player, CJ McCollum, I don't know why all of a sudden Zion Williamson is going to, I guess, shape up. I feel like you need to have some legit superstar player with him to make him understand, hey, dude, you got to take this a little more seriously, the body part of it. I mean, Yeah, the contract, you just got it. Is this more likely to make him all of a sudden now want to stay in shape? Again, after 85 games of 236 possible over the last 3 years. I don't think it is.
I hate to use this example because he just passed away, but Caleb Swanigan was a great example of somebody at Purdue that really struggled with weight. And when he wasn't on his regimen, it was disastrous. When he was on his regimen, when he trusted the nutritionist, when he had a dietitian, when he was being taken care of and had a trainer, he was in great shape for a big guy. But then he would slip, and it was catastrophic. I'm not saying Zion Williamson is going to have the health problems that Caleb Swanigan had, but he is the body type to where he has to take it really, really seriously. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we talk a little Stros after a fun couple of days. Plus, are the Texans going to be rebranded as Bad Boys of the NFL? Hear what we're talking about coming up next.
ESPN 97.5.